Roughly 500 years before the birth of Christ, Israel found themselves conquered and dispersed by the Babylonians in what's called the Babylonian exile. And it's during this time that the book of Daniel was written. The book of Daniel fits into a genre of literature called apocalyptic literature. And apocalyptic, we tend to associate it with the end of the world, all this fire and brimstone type of things. But apocalyptic literature comes from the Greek apokalypses, which means to pull back the veil. In Latin, it's translated revelatio, as in the book of Revelation, the final book in scriptures. And what apocalyptic literature is really all about is finding hope in the midst of tribulation. So for Daniel, Daniel finds himself an Israelite, a Hebrew, as a court advisor to the Babylonian king, to King Nebuchadnezzar and his successor. And he finds himself watching as his people are dispersed, their culture is isolated, their language is forbidden, and they're spread throughout the Babylonian Empire, not able to contact the people of their nation. They're really, it's a complete cultural destruction that Israel faces. And yet Daniel finds himself in a position of great power, one of the trusted advisors of the king, along with three other figures. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are their Babylonian names, but in Hebrew, they're Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And these four find themselves in great positions of influence, the ability to see God at work and to communicate that to the people despite the scattering that they find themselves in. So Daniel, especially as he has visions from two angels. Two of the archangels appear to Daniel, Gabriel and Michael. And it's the first time, the book of Daniel is actually the first time we see Michael appear in scripture. Gabriel we saw earlier, Gabriel we'll see again at the birth of Christ when he visits Mary. But what Daniel sees is he has these visions of Michael coming in and showing the power of God, right, fighting for his chosen people. It's the vision of the chosen ones and those who have been marked by the Lord, that God will pull them back and gather them and return them from their scattering to the four winds, that God will bring his people back under his flock. And that's what gives Daniel and the rest of the Israelites hope. It's this hope that God fights for them even in the midst of tribulation. And indeed, Daniel is given another vision that says that God will very quickly act to free Israel from the Babylonians, that God will shorten the length of time that he had in his plan for the exile. This apocalypses, this unveiling of God's plan to show that God is going to act sooner rather than later because of his people and because of his love for them. So that when Jesus in this gospel borrows imagery from Daniel, this apocalyptic literature, Mark and the rest of the early Christian community are going to remember this and reflect on this and see how the Lord is present to them in the midst of their own trials and tribulations. And Jesus makes references to a lot of the imagery that's actually found within the temple in Jerusalem. So when Jesus speaks about the sun being darkened and the moon not giving its light and the stars falling from the sky, obviously we know at the crucifixion there was the eclipse that darkened the land. But also in the interior of the temple, adorning the roof and the walls, were celestial astronomical images. They had pictures of the sun and the moon and the stars and the five planets that they knew about all the time. They only knew about five of the nine because they could see those. And so they have these celestial images arrayed in the temple. So then, in the year 70 AD, when the Romans destroy the temple, as part of the Romans squelching the Jewish rebellion that took place between 66 and 70 AD, there's an added imagery of the destruction of the temple. But what this is for the Christians and for us is just as it was back in the time of the Babylonian exile, God is fighting for his people. God is ushering in a new covenant. Part of the image that was given to Daniel was that idea that God will then enact a new covenant and gather all the nations of the world, not just Israel, under his loving embrace. So Israel had this very powerful way of looking at things. They looked to both past and future to shape the present. They looked to the past and they looked to the future, this apocalypsis, this unveiling of God's plan, this revelatio, to understand their current plight, to understand their current predicament. Christ is doing the same thing. Christ is understanding and inviting us to understand all things in light of his passion, just as the early Christians did, in light of the paschal mystery, the passion, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ. And it's in that context, then, when we can see that when the temple is destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD, then this new covenant that Christ inaugurates, that Christ institutes at the Last Supper in the Eucharist, that now this new covenant is enacted. The old has been fulfilled by Christ and is no longer necessary as now Christ gathers everybody to himself. And so there's great hope then in the midst of suffering that God continues to fight for his people. And so our Lord then invites us to do the same thing. He says, learn from the fig tree. The fig tree was a plant, or is a tree native to that region that blooms between once and twice a year. And it's predictable. It's like clockwork every time when they bloom. It's very regular, very predictable. And from that, then the people around it, as they watch the fig tree, can begin to understand what it is that they need to do. That's what our Lord is inviting us to. He's inviting us to look around and see what it is that we need to do in accord with the signs of the times. So we shouldn't be preoccupied on what's the exact date, time, and the millisecond that Christ is going to come back. That's not what apocalyptic literature is designed to do. It's about teaching us how do we live in accord with Christ and the new covenant and what he's asking us to do now. Just as for Israel, they realized that the Babylonian exile was God calling them back to covenantal fidelity because they had lost their way and they'd gone way far afield. So then Israel, as soon as they started to turn back to the covenant, as Daniel led the Israelites to do, then God acted to save his people, to free them from the Babylonians, and to restore the nation of Israel. It's the same thing for us. As we look around and as we see God fighting for us, especially in the midst of the trials and tribulations, there's a big one going on right now, that God fights for us and fights for the church and calls us back to that covenantal fidelity. So when we look around and we read the signs of the times, we should be asking ourselves, how am I living in accord with the natural and the moral law and the beatitudes of Christ? Am I living in accord with what God has called us to do, with what God has called me to do? That's apocalyptic literature. That's what it's designed to do. And as we do that, then we can find that God continues to fight for us. That like St. Michael, who represents the heavenly hosts coming to save those who are chosen, those whose names are inscribed in the book of life, as John will write in Revelation, that we can see God fighting for us now, calling us back to that fidelity, calling us back to the liberation that he offers. So today, then, we should ask for that grace, that we can see the signs of the times, that we can learn from the fig tree and see that God is still with us, that we can allow the past and the future to shape the present, to view all things in light of Christ's paschal mystery, that during this time, as we as a church endure the suffering, the agony in the garden, and the passion, the suffering, and the crucifixion, that God will eventually lead us into resurrection, into a new life. He does that not just as a collective of the church, but for each of us individually as we share in the life of Christ. That means we share in his suffering, and then we share in the life, and then we share in the glory of the ascension. So that should be what we ask the Lord for the grace to do today, to continue to endure with fidelity, with faithfulness, trusting that God has not abandoned us, nor will he ever, but that he calls us to recommit ourselves to the natural, to the moral law, the teachings of the church, and the Beatitudes. That's how we find life in the midst of hope, in the midst of suffering, and in the midst of death. That's where hope shines in the darkness. And that's where the apocalypse, the unveiling of God's plan, is completed.